interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian climate change, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, postulated cricketism. To bring you Behind the Woodshed, this is a cricketude-busting episode, BTW RLM 517. Are we glowing yet? Are we nuclear glowing? Getting close, folks. The postulation will come as well after, as we continue to watch this nonsense in the world. And I don't know how much of that's theater. And we're going to talk a little bit about theater, then move on. I was not going to talk about something, but I'm going to touch it a bit. Again, how we are divided as a people. We are, Vince, I'm going to say it real early, easily persuaded to follow nonsense and not really focus on certain things. But to start off with core values, at least we have a state that recognizes the core values of property and the extent of the limit of the police power of the state to come after us in a recent decision in Idaho. And so this is an interesting turn when you start to parse down exactly where rights are not, and property in this case, the identifying of these things, and then you can bring these things forward such that you understand them. And so I said, the more you read, the more you understand, the more you see the elements of what it takes, and partly where I go to property, where we go and started from the mining law and started to realize what these grants and the pertinent rights are. And one of the pertinent rights to property and the patents is the ingress and egress. We change our language. We don't try to travel or anything like that. It's a right of ingress and egress. It's an appurtenant right of property, landed property in the United States. And you have to understand then, I should say JMD, Jefferson Mining District website, go down to the Highways and Trails PDF, and you can read for one state how this is supposed to actually work through on your road law side, where you have the state through its Enabling Act. It's an Admissions Act in that state. The Enabling Act, the state undertook to honor a congressional grant. So your highways are that. Your ingress and egress to all the property that was going to be disposed by Congress and otherwise prior, by common law as well, is sitting right there. And there are every state enacted statutory acceptances for the time the disposal would cure, if you will, perfect. And then that settles it. But the state's obligated to that. So underneath what I just said is this story here. What I just said is not discussed in this story, but we see the steps toward it. Idaho Supreme Court rules drug dog trespassed after putting its paws on a car. And this is, you got to listen very carefully about how this works. And when you start to see this, then it starts to open the door, what I've been telling you about where your properties are and where your rights are and where appurtenant rights are and how to parse that out. And I'll just read down here, down in the middle of the cases. A search occurs when a drug dog trespasses against the exterior of a vehicle during a free air sniff if its physical contact with the vehicle amounts to intermeddling at common law. And so the discussion in the article of the statement from the court is, in this case, a drug dog intermeddled with Dorf's vehicle when it jumped onto the driver's side door and window, planted two of its paws, and sniffed the vehicle's upper seams. Accordingly, law enforcement conducted a warrantless and too unlawful search of Dorf's vehicle by way of its drug dog. And the other thing here is that dog is actually an officer. Had Nero sniffed the air and not placed his paws on Dorf's car, it would not have been trespassing, as air is not private property. And so, if you've been following what I've been saying, you apply what I've been saying, you start to parse this down really fine, you may find this gentleman eventually was hit with a methamphetamine when they got after the sniff, they got a paraphernalia for methamphetamine. They went back to an apartment where he lived, got the warrant to go in, and now all that is going to be returned back to the court to view as an improper evidence at the time because of this improper search. So he took a guilty plea and then off the reservation of the appeal on the suspension, the denial of the suspension of evidence. That's going back with this correction. That the trespass happened when the officer here, the cop's dog, touched the car. My thought, and okay, so that's one. And then the other thing is I was saying underpinning all this is when did the cop applying transportation code to an appurtenant ingress and egress right? When did he trespass upon my property of the ingress and egress right? And I say that as a question, but I think it's rhetorical. It is a proof in law that if you start understanding what I'm saying about stepping back, the improper application of transportation code, which is where the cops get their authority, upon a permanent ride is a breach of the state's obligations to protect the underlying ingress and egress right that was appurtenant, the property disposal. So I thought this was a very important story in a way to show us again, property is important still. A core value of the United States of America is property, and there's an extent where that line is breached and there is a response, which can be used as a defense. No, I don't necessarily like that we have to do these defenses. I don't think that that's justice. These cops are supposed to be recognizing all this, although the attorneys, the Bar Association members, have made it so that they can even claim stupidity. They can be no better than a monkey doing something, even less than a dog, and they get immunity for all the harm they cause. But that's neither here nor there. I just wanted people to understand this is a late-breaking story to me, that here we have a trespass on a property because there was a touch, and that led to another piece of evidence gathering, which, again, the fraud of that vitiates all the actions beyond it. My observation is underneath that, just to reiterate, what about your property right underneath that that says you have a right to use the highways by the undertaking of the state to be a state at all in the disposal of the grants by Congress? The evidence of which is usually your patents. They're already there. People think they have to go make them up. You don't make them up. They're in the record. They're in the land records of the government. And every state, some states even have patents from state issuance, so it may be a state land office. So you look in your states, and that's where you start to find this and backtrack through. And don't forget your property rights or your appurtenant property rights. And this is the thing I've seen people don't understand much. And I'm not saying you're going to win. I'm saying that you have a right that's being violated that not even the courts are actually recognizing. And it's a lot of work to get our rights back. And when we were silent, they started stealing. So one another core value we're finding, another thing I've been talking about, is when they do it over there or another country, they'll do it to you here. And this has to do with that culture, cancel culture, whatever it is, cop blue line culture. It's about them, just us. But this came out really astonishing to hear it. I don't know that it changes anything I've ever thought. But when you hear it confessed from the mouth of the government, when you thought, and I know we're going to get a lot of laughs of my listeners, my listener would say there is no trust and there is no statement of law and all this. And I would say generally that would be about right. But if we don't uphold anything, then they win because we have no standard whatsoever. And if we stay silent, they win because they have no standard whatsoever and no remedies at all, not even to come together. And this is the power of the people mutually coming together when you recognize a harm. This is what another thing is going to be coming up real soon here on these tabs. When you come together, you can have cause and effect. The problem is it's being this cause and effect of mutual coagulation, in this case, by a blood clot, is being derived through deceptive means and led by the nose. And I said we can't do that. Each one of us has to mutually understand our rights, our property rights, the extent of government, and we insist on it. And because we're in an occupied state, we have to come all together with that common knowledge, with that common insistence. But here, a fascinating thing. I've told you the military is involved. And when they do it to someone else, they'll do it to you home. Leader of U.S. Military's Africa Command states our government shares core values with military coolies. There's an interesting exchange. It's from a Twitter post by Representative Matt Gaetz, who's, like I said, some of the stuff he's been doing is at least opening eyes, hopefully. Some of it's not necessarily on point enough for me, but that's neither here nor there. I'm not there. I can only convey the ideas and hope they get out. But the leader of U.S. Military African Command states our government shares core values. The interchange between Representative Matt Gaetz and this military general was pretty fascinating in that he, again, you have to just watch these guys. It's astonishing. You'd think a military guy would be more respectable, more respectful, more honorable, and yet you watch them evade. They do the fancy pants dance. They didn't want to answer a direct question with a direct answer. You know they know why, and that's as all starts to play in the deception that's going on, that in fact the United States military trains people to go throw governments out. And the question that Matt Gaetz proposed to the general was, how many countries do you overthrow before you say it's not a core value of the United States of America? Point is, though, it is a core value of the United States of America. It's a heinous core value, nevertheless. But if they're going to do it out there, they'll do it to you. And I just refer us back to Operation Warp Speed. I refer to the fact that it's easy to identify. Nobody followed the law, nowhere, any place. And the military didn't stop the what can be shown to be an attack through the Kobe swindle, through its acknowledgement that it's connected to a foreign will under the nation, didn't protect us from that attack. And it actually implemented it through Trump. And so we have to really lay these truths down and start, at least as I've been telling you, make them possibilities, probabilities, potentials of a certain termination point that may not be too tasty or may not be too palatable for us. But we have an admission now, if you will, if you read the, listen to the exchange, that essentially the United States military does, in fact, intermeddle with the so-called democratic countries. Though their words will say that they are compliant with it. But in fact, we're essentially, the army is essentially training terrorists against other nations. Now, I guess there's a body of people in the United States that think that's great, American dominance. But that's not the rules. That's not the law. That's not the respect. That's not the kind of world that I was told we were striving for. And I say today, we see what looks more to be more proper, what the United States should have been doing, is now what Russia and China are starting to do in the world. And have been, actually. We're just not getting around. While the United States, the core value of the United States is to overthrow governments through its military training. We have someone who is evading an answer, an exchange between a representative asking them that. You're not going to get him to say that the core value is to overthrow governments, but in fact, that's what the United States military does. And if they're overthrowing governments out there, they're doing it to you. And with this cognitive warfare thing, this thing turning in the guns on the United States, turning their attention to us at total dominance, not looking at our laws, using the plausible cover of the law to justify this crime, is all evidence. Again, we knows them when we sees them. And I'm still wondering when the people of the United States are going to start figuring this out. And we have a much more serious question before us. And I don't know what the answer to that is. I know I've heard we have the suggestion that the Second Amendment's there, but I kind of doubt it. I kind of doubt it. And I don't want to see it anyway. We need to rise above this. We need to really fix this one better than what we've watched. Inside, the system has been a cancer. It's not just in the military, but you notice they all use the same mode of operation. And it's easy. That's for me to see. I can see how that works. Again, astonishing to hear the evasion to avoid trying to say that the United States military does, in fact, train people, well, even 1%. Of the trainees turn into be coup leaders and coup plotters. And so the American public is agreeing to that when we don't shut it down. So just hearing the words is fascinating. Another coup plotter, in my mind, another one, a manipulator of the public, came up, and I wasn't going to talk about this. I just don't agree with much of it. After our interaction with Trump, and the lack of interaction, actually, not even a go to Hades letter, after our four letters to show, and showing we had some things to show the president at the time. And, not that we did let you know, and I've said it before, to show that we're not inconsequential what we know and what we can do, he acknowledged someone that I, through someone I work with, that was before the on the podium of Washington, D.C., invited there by President Trump and acknowledged to be one of the foremost authorities in forest management relative to the policies that was being stated. And those came from my work through another party, through that representative of a local county. So to show you that it's not like when we say nothing. We have some contribution to make. And we were completely disregarded. Kind of put this guy on my radar about be careful. This is a big game. And so what we hear now, and then the game starts again, that Trump says he expects to be arrested on Tuesday. This starts a whole series of events to happen, which I want to point out. And more importantly here, what I've been talking about, cognitive warfare, And it's not, again, what Trump did with Operation Warp Speed, his connection to the military. He's a president of the United States. He's a risk. They have to protect it. So he's not out of this just because he's not in the office. He's integrated now. He has knowledges that he wouldn't get unless he was president. That all has to be protected. And he's also a proponent of the very things that allowed irreparable harms in violation of law to the people of the United States. It's all going to be denied. It doesn't matter. Those of us that are looking objectively, we can put down the objective basis in the law and show ourselves, in face of a deceiver, what's going on. Well, Trump comes out and he claims he's going to be arrested on Tuesday. And in part, this was a legal tactic. But in another part, it shows another type of deception going on. He calls for his arrest. This is a couple days before Tuesday. There's supposed to be something going on in Manhattan. I could read the story. You can read it too. You can just get the link or you can just type it in and find out. Look how this thing progresses. And I looked at this. He's going to be arrested on Tuesday. And then I noticed that you start reading the story and it's a built-up story. When you apply what the law was supposed to be, it didn't start to hold water really quick. Trump then comes out a few days later, and there's a lot of steps here, that it was a feeding into a system. And I'm going to get here, not talk about really the situation. I'm talking about how people can be manipulated. And Trump knows how to do it. He knew, I think, before he got involved, but he knows better now, and he actually may have the military to back him up. I can't disprove that. I can't prove it. What I can say is that the technique and the tactic work really, really well. We got some proof. How people get led by the nose. Don't sit back and relax a bit and watch. So Trump says he's going to be arrested. That causes a fervor. And everyone turns it into politics. Questions were being responded. Some people were saying, are you walking into a trap? Are you going to get all frothy and go down into the streets and get arrested and get beat up, just like January 6th? And I was responded to one particular post on the Twitter, and I said, if this is a plausibly lawful indictment from a grand jury, anybody that goes and fights against it's actually going against the law, as we have it today. My opinion of the judicial system aside, again, plausibly correct. Now, there was some information coming out that it could not be plausibly correct, and so that was interesting to watch, that this could have been a political attack, but people should have just stepped back, not get frothy, let the process, the so-called wheels of justice, turn. Because if it was improper, Trump has the ability to avoid all that. And you watched how he actually had evidence coming out as he was teasing this thing along, that I'm going to get arrested. He heightens it up and says, Trump wants to be handcuffed in court. When I read that, my thought is, this is a game. This is a theater. Why? Because he is not of the class, and you're going to find this two-tiered system that we can see. He will not be treated like anybody that's normal. And I say that on one level because he is the president, the ex-president. He's got an entourage now that goes with him on top of it. That when you get into a legal system that's actually working on the presumption of innocence, you don't, as a defendant, you don't go anywhere. If you have representation, they come and they do everything for you, essentially. That's what that's for. We, the plebs, don't enjoy the proper justice that we ought to. And so when they said he wanted to be handcuffed, that is an effect, that he wants to incite something in people. He wants to invoke their emotions. He wants to do something. Why would he be, if he's not a security threat, why would he be in handcuffs, first of all? There's no need. What people are enjoying is that they're in handcuffs. People are enjoying being beat down. People are enjoying being killed before they even get here. People enjoy being put in jail before the law even starts to work to get them before a magistrate. And so I've already known about this two-tier system. When I see this, he wants to be handcuffed. That's his want. The lawful process wouldn't do that to anybody. It doesn't even matter, two-tier system, that you get handcuffed right off the bat, that you're presumed to be a threat. And this is what you read in this article. You get to the articles and the tabs. They presume him to not be a security threat. I want to know why your presumption of innocence isn't good enough for you to not be presumed a security threat. Would be for handcuffs to be used. And actually, most cases, how many people do you know are in handcuffs that walk in for some kind of a hearing? Now, this was some serious charges they were claiming. And I don't want to get to the rigmarole about it. I want to point out how this was incited by Trump to invigorate a base. It's a political move. and it was ends up being fairly successful to him. But it's identifiable when you know the most basic procedures to be theater. And I mentioned that. People are writing comments about, oh, this is interesting. Oh, this is, oh, he's going to be political. They're attacking him, this and that and the other. And I put an email, a post out in the Twitter to Luke, We Are Change. It's all theater. Keep eating the popcorn. And so as we go, this is before we start to hear what we now know. I mean, this has been days now. You'll have heard this information. I also replied to someone to say, who didn't agree, was outing this thing, not necessarily my word theater, but he was saying this is not correct. But I responded to that to say, I don't know why people don't see through this theater. Simply applying the two-tier criminal just us system procedures expose the plot and twists in the first act. If it weren't theater, DeSantis would have done well to keep his mouth shut, letting the wheels of justice turn. And that was another player, character actor, coming out to have a say at all. If this was a plausible indictment, if it's not, it should be. Trump has all the power in the law to out it and get it killed. But this time, we're talking about a prosecutor who's supposed to be built up by Soros, who's supposed to be supported by Soros, and this is a political hit that Biden couldn't do, so they got the New Yorkers to do it. But the wheels of justice would allow an avoidance against an improper process. And so DeSantis comes out and he has to have a say. He's got to do his dig on Trump, the political dig, the candidate dig. He didn't need to do that. He shows no class, DeSantis. He actually has an opinion. Tried to couch it as a question, as an ignorance. But if he'd have just backed off and said, let's let the wheels of justice turn, he'd have put himself a little bit better. My thought is, since he didn't, this is all somehow a planned theater for everybody. And everybody was buying into it. Thousands and thousands of police are put down in Manhattan to protect against Trump's arrest. The protests against Trump's arrest. Fascinating how they played this thing out. And then we hear, after right near the day, we're coming up to Tuesday, everybody's in fervor, then we hear the news. Trump won't be handcuffed if arrested. And I'm going, okay, that's right. Because why? Even the one-tiered system, unless he's a violent offender that has some evidence of probable cause of being violent and deadly, won't be handcuffed. Of course he won't be handcuffed. This was all a game. This is all theater. And lots of what I thought were intelligent people got involved, even made this a thing. Didn't put it in its place and give it the time, let it cook just a little bit. Let it stew. The former U.S. president will likely remain in the custody of Secret Service agents. Yes, because he's ex-president. In fact, he is a different status. However, when you read in the stories, this shows us that they will do a two-tiered system. When our underlying rights are supposed to be the same, if we're to be presumed innocent, none of us should be handcuffed. None of us should be treated the way we are. We all should be getting a letter in the mail to show up with the probable cause charges, giving us the notice, time, opportunity, and place to respond as to the properness of that process to get us into the court. Again, the court still has to approve jurisdiction if you challenge it, and you have to be given the opportunity to do so. An invalid process couldn't invoke the jurisdiction of the court. The prosecutor couldn't do this because we find out later, as I talk about that, I'm talking way too much more than what I wanted. This was so dumb what people got into. When you talk, listen, all of a sudden now the prosecutor had no point. He was still working. The grand jury still hadn't even come to a decision yet. And then I said, there we go. Everybody's got Trump's got this thing all stirred up like crazy. No one even sat down to worry about what is the real legal process. And this, I'm talking this way to point this out because everybody did the same thing to Covey Swindle. They did not go to the law to see what the due process, the limitations on government are. The prosecutor couldn't do anything in this case. It was raiding on a grand jury that Trump didn't say anything about. Not even that prosecutor mentioned it. No, they got it the give and take and the back and the insults against each other and the Soros and all this other stuff. Good theater. Trump won't be handcuffed. Of course not. The process wouldn't allow it. And he's the president. And he's got an entourage. And he has to be a risk. He wants it for effect. He's deceiving his own base. And people don't pick this up. I'm astonished. And I say that because if we called this stuff out immediately, we would start to bring more truth more honesty to this system, not allow it to fester and wound and get worse. Then we hear it. Trump live updates now. Grand jury to resume work at noon, but it may not be on the indictment. As this thing progressed, and maybe this mutual, this is the legal and the political move on here for Trump, possibly, beyond the deception. Moving a mutual base to a fervor that caused the trouble. Gave someone the time to have a second thought. The truth comes out that maybe it's not in the prosecutor to do. It's still sitting in the grand jury, and that prosecutor starts to have second thoughts. I don't know what the decision on that was. We can see that there was no evidence if we look at this. There really wasn't any evidence that was not already answered in prior court cases to Trump's favor. In other words, that Trump knew he was inciting the riot, if you will, amongst the people, because his answer to the process was those documents that we could see, given they were true, relative to the admissions of the attorney, the disgraced attorney, and the actual acts of Stormy Daniels, whom he's claimed to have paid money for the election. This is about an election thing. Again, certainly does sound like a political hit, but to use this in order to cause a fervor, which was not required in law, shows me our society needs to learn a couple more things. And until we do, we're in some trouble, a lot of trouble, actually. That he was able to play this when it wasn't even in the prosecutor that he was attacking and saying he was going to be arrested on Tuesday. If you notice, it was just a word to him. There was nothing official. That was the other clue. There's lots of little clues along the way. But the grand jury, it may not even, I haven't even heard this, so that I got to do the broadcast early before the time that you hear it. I don't know what the outcome of this is, but it looked like it was going to start to go away. The grand jury, as you heard in this last story, which it's just a story, may not even hear the whole thing. And this was on when? Not Tuesday. This was Wednesday moving into Thursday and then Thursday. And then we hear what Trump did. The promoter, the salesman, the dealer here. Trump's fans sent him $1.5 million in 3 days after he falsely predicted he'd be arrested on Tuesday. Nice consequence for a deceiver, in my mind. $1.5 million. As I think about it, $1.5 million. You may be getting, maybe somebody can get in touch with him. I know someone who's got a mining claim that money could be bought. He can actually get some gold for it if you're interested as well. I should put this out. A little bit hesitant to do so, but I'll do it anyway, maybe, whereas I'm looking at that money. Trump fans sent him $1.5 million. If you know someone who's got him interested in a mining claim, have him contact mineproperty@proton.me. mineproperty@proton.me. And have them inquire upon my mining claim, which we're now having to sell. And that's the asking price at this point. This gold stuff is not inconsequential value. When I say the money's in the bank, it's embarrassingly true. The money is literally in the bank. And when you see what's been happening to the market, you might understand what the power of this whole thing is if we were to get back to some commodity that works. Anyway, Trump fans sent him $1.5 million on a deception. Nobody thought forward to say, wait a minute, he's just bluffing. He's just messing around with us. No, they embraced this whole thing. And this is a crowd herd mentality, mob mentality that kind of scares me a bit. As a society, this is kind of terrifying, that he could play people out and continue to play people out. Remember, I denounced the whole election thing for Trump when he couldn't come out after he had the only standing in the world to fight anything and come back with a challenge. He didn't. And I told you right then, he doesn't have anything, and you better just go ahead with the process of the elections being okay. If he wasn't going to do it, it's going to take a lot more time elsewise, and you noticed how then the states, they had to start trying to pick it up with the states, and even that was failing. We do have a recent, for those of you that are in voting and understand certain things, there was a recent victory, I understand, in Arizona where Carrie Lake won the question of whether or not verification of signatures is important, and the Supreme Court came back and said, yeah, they are, and remands the case back to have it looked at relative to the verification requirement, which seemingly every other state could care less about. Showing another problem in our states, again, amongst the people. And so Trump, I just going on what was available to Trump and what's not working, what doesn't work within what they're promoting. This is a big promotion. Well, he makes $1.5 million. And so good on him, I guess. Good on you, Trump. You did it. You made more money deceiving people. And there's still a fervor going on. And I'm not saying to undermine the truth that the process should have never happened and we got some political problems, but to come up around and make potential protests on something that he could avoid otherwise. And if it was plausibly lawful, you couldn't do anything about it anyway without looking like a rioter, right? Without basis and without cause, is not the type of things I'm asking people to involve themselves in just without thought. Don't spend any more time. Don't give it any space for rent. You look at the details of what's supposed to happen, and you'll see really the truth of what should have been going on, what really ought not have been able to go on, unless the system really wants to out themselves, and I don't think that they want to do that on somebody as notorious as a Trump. Maybe you and me, where they run us down everywhere, but not a Trump. He played that up really well. So I come back, and interesting how, again, a link shows up to go read and study, and one of the links comes up this little statement to remind us, and reminds me, it spoke just to this position of why I'm even talking about it. We have to guard ourselves, and we have to start becoming a lot more aware of what's going on. There's objective basis for us to do that. We can not use our opinions of what we think we know. We can go right to the bases. However questionable even that objective basis, we realize there's a corruption in the system. We realize, I mean, I can prove that there's a destruction of equity jurisprudence in this country. So that's, but beyond that, if we're to say, okay, it should work, what should be working, we have that objective basis to work. None of the stuff I see, it seems, in the news, it works as far as what should be happening, and those are the clues. But let me point out something that came back around to remind us again, just on this cognitive warfare thing, countering cognitive warfare, awareness, and resilience. Again, from John Hopkins University, Imperial College. Do those names sound familiar, folks? Again, the core part, speaking from a NATO document, again, on and on, this thing is so focused on what's going on. Now, we read this, we go down, and it says, fake news not required. And this is just a reminder paragraph of all that I could read. Just to say, when I read this, I read what I was identifying and what everyone was seeing, the Trump arrest and getting all wrapped up in that. It is useful to note, it says, fake news not required. It is useful to note that false information or fake news are not required to achieve the aims of cognitive warfare. An embarrassing government document hacked from a public official's email, anonymously leaked into a social media sharing site, or dribbled out selectively to opposition groups in a social network is sufficient to cause dissension. A social messaging campaign that inflames the passions of online influencers can cause controversies to go viral. Social media groups can be motivated to organize demonstrations and to take to the streets. Official denials or ambiguous public responses in this circumstance can add to confusion and doubt or to entrench conflicting narratives among segments of the population. When I read that, I read this Trump nonsense. I read that and listened in lots of so-called news, lots of so-called controversy, all being fabricated. They said false information and fake news. Well, it was false information that Trump was going to be arrested. He may have believed he could be told that, but procedurally that was impossible. In fact, the case wasn't even there. We hear later that on Tuesday it couldn't happen. It couldn't happen on Wednesday, and it may not even try to happen on Thursday. Whether or not it has, I'm not so sure. I didn't get the information soon enough for that. But this little paragraph, these little two paragraphs, spoke exactly to the Trump issue of what I've been saying is cognitive warfare that Trump executed on people, and successfully so to the tune of $1.5 million, and a continuing base, essentially. And did they think that also, he was wrong politically, this and that and the other? It was really just a judicial process, and we understand the prosecutor's no good anyway. He was not a good, he can't even win half of his cases in cases my study shows is 92 to 98% fulfilled in a prosecution, a successful prosecution by the state. This is how bad this guy is, taking everything else away. And so even if we look at it that way, there was just a bad decision, certainly to go on evidence that showed to the contrary, which may get that guy in trouble. That prosecutor might be in trouble now. So, as I understand, there might be a complaint. Exactly what the system is supposed to be set up for. It's a lot of work, yeah, and I don't necessarily agree with all, because you're going back into that system. But you get the proper people that actually have a say, not the plebes, but the so-called representatives that actually have a say, you might actually get some push to go. That's what should have been happening. The people shouldn't foam up. They should be looking at the process working. Why? Because you want to make sure for you it's working for you when you get there. Even in face of all this corruption that we can identify, it's pretty phenomenal. But moving on to the cognitive discussion, the cognitive warfare, how it's set up, all it needs is a story that goes viral. And Trump has all the elements to be able to pull that off, and I think he did. And we have the monetary proof of that as well. And okay, I don't know, I guess part of me says that's okay, he pulled it off, he's a candidate. I guess all is fair in love and war, but we're not supposed to be running our systems to not have justice. And he shouldn't be able to rely on the injustice. And that needs to be fixed systemically. And I'm not so sure it gets fixed systemically from us looking in, nor partly you see a small group of a band of so-called Republicans saying, hey, I'm going to listen to the people. You got to listen carefully and parse their words, too, because it's not necessarily the truth either. Some of it is. Their intention may be good, but their focus is my mind, my interpretation, based on objective value, objective basis, a real core value looking and honoring property production, people's rights, in their sovereign, if I can say, even use the word sovereign capacity, is really the paramount principle we need to be pushing, making sure it goes on. Don't fall into this stuff. But this leads us into this, so something I also don't talk too much about. It's a lot to go on, a lot to say in a week anyway. I've got four or five different subject matters I'm not going to be able to cover this week. And hopefully I can get to most of today's was the Proud Boy J6 edition trial halted after leaked chat logs show FBI agent said her boss ordered her to destroy evidence. This should have shut the system down. But as we've seen, like in the Bundy case and this and that, the malicious prosecution has to go to a real heinous end before it's even outed by the judge. It's so embarrassing. But this, the J6 sedition trial halted after leaked chat logs show FBI agent said her boss ordered her to destroy evidence. You'd think this destruction of evidence would be enough. You'd think that just having it happen in the system would be enough for the system to turn on, look at itself, because it has the duty to be upfront and straight about all this and not be deceptive. If it is that the prosecutor in the Trump thing goes down, it's because he wasn't honest. And that's one of the things about, if you'll find out, the prosecutors are fairly much immune. And I've talked to you about this before, and what I had to do in my petition complaining to the sheriff and the prosecuting attorney and the attorney and the attorney general was that the prosecutor was not, to get the prosecutor, you have to show that they're not honestly prosecuting. That's probably the only angle you have at them. And it has to be right. You can't do that just, he's just dishonest. You really have to have the evidence for it. The prosecutors are pretty much immune, but until you can find that they're dishonest. That's how he's going to go down, if they can show that. Trump has that power. Again, the wheels of justice, so-called, work. That system, however corrupted, it still sits there to have to be worked. You have to exercise and make futile that effort. And then when it's futile, then you better have a mutual band of people that actually see that problem, not to go foment and protest at Manhattan, or go into the January 6th setup and not do that properly, which we find out now that the withholding of evidence is, this is the government. This is the government's courts doing this withholding and under color of procedural superiority. In this case, the J6 thing, it seems to be national security. They shut down your rights. It has to be more of the focus than probably anything else, because when you get there, it happens to you. And you have no defense. January 6th, panel admits members never saw footage aired by Tucker Carlson. Old story. Point is that there was no evidence actually going on. This is a political hit. These people really did do breaches. They are in Congress. We have a fundamental problem. There's a little bit of focus going over there to maybe look at them for action for doing this. But this is not helping you in the jail. All the J6 people in jail that ought not have been handcuffed or put in jail while they were presumed innocent. That they're in jail and Trump didn't get handcuffed shows you not only just the two-tiered system, but that there is a system of corruption that pretends to be justice. And this leaks out everywhere. I don't care where you look at it, it's there. whether it's the J6 or Julian Assange or other journalists or other people, or just you driving down the road and the cop thinking that you can be subjected to transportation code instead of you presuming you to have an ingress and egress right from the property that you just came from. No, all this is all corrupt. We have so much work as a society, it's overwhelming to me. I don't even know if we can really pull this off. As long as I see Trump being able to lead everybody by the nose and they don't go to objective basis, I don't have much hope for us. The change is going to be transformation, and it's done. We're really close to that. But the panel that you would think is supposed to be investigating, one-eyed. They don't look at the whole thing. And this is what starts to come out when you start to actually inquire and have people that are representatives that actually start going after some of this. The mechanisms, I call it the goo of government. Government goo, it takes forever if you get anywhere. A lot of times it's controlled. So you never get where you need to go anyway. And that's why I'm critical of even the so-called Republicans or even the Democrats. Some Democrats are shifting over as well in some things, in some areas. But everyone's off point from what I can tell. And if you've listened to me long enough, I hope. I think I'm seeing some response. And thank you for the Twitter in acknowledging some of this. When you spoke to the principals, that's exactly what I'm hoping you do. Now move into the proper application. You move that in, and then we have a basis to work from. When we see that they're not using bases to do stuff, and they're incriminating people, and they cause them to be locked up, or they cause them to be harmed, or whatever, however harmed they are, even giving the opinion that you can be shot in the streets by someone who's got a badge on. We are way far away than what we're supposed to be doing, and I don't know what else to suggest to people but to bring the principles down, find out what they are, find out how they work, and then start to apply them. Give yourself a solid basis foundation to work from. Certainly, we find out later that any member that was vilifying and causing a court case to go against someone that was talking about an insurrection, and they don't have one weapon one, we have a problem, a big, serious problem, way beyond politics in a way as well. And so this is all, again, a Trump-incited thing. No one slowed down to say, hey, look, let's try to do this. It didn't help that they walked right into the, apparently, it looked, as I was saying, it's a trap. They were invited into a trap, and that doesn't make the evidence. That's a problem with the judicial system. That's a fraud, utilizing high-level sovereignty, if you will, security considerations when there's no security issues. In other words, go back to Trump. They said, he's not a security threat. We don't have to put him in handcuffs. My question is, why aren't you all not considered security threats then if the presumption of innocence means anything? And if you don't have the presumption of innocence, what country do you live in? You're an occupied people. And that's just one statement. So what is it? We're occupied by other things, right? Then let's move on. I'd spend a whole lot more time than I was thinking on that. Again, these Trump stuff is really not something I'm interested in. I'm interested in watching how people disregard objective basis, jump on bandwagons, cheerleaders, and thinking that they got the objective basis going on, and that at the same time our country's going down in flames. Maybe planned, maybe by ignorance, maybe by incompetence. I think not, but you never know. You never know. You can be hurt by ignorance pretty well, and not. And when you give too much faith into, say, panels that are supposed to be looking at the truth, you think truth, justice, and the American way, you don't have a clue. If that exists, it doesn't exist in an occupied territory, in the same territory that nobody spoke to protect. Keeping that republic, yeah, we didn't do that. We didn't do that at all. And we didn't do the hard work it took. Again, silence is not an option here, folks. You see the military's core values is to overthrow democratic operating governments, and I use that word loosely for the Republican form representative government. The militaries were overthrow that. What do you think they did with the warp speed and the United States of America? I've told you, they're removed from us as people. 9/11 just helped that come that right in, brought that right in. Everybody became a criminal. You are not a presumed innocent. And the government will train terrorists to attack you. Should not be okay with anybody. And we shouldn't really think that it doesn't affect us when, in fact, it has. what more was Clovey swindle than an economic attack? And they told us that. They even were promoting and have been promoting the vaccines were the economic future. This is the intention. This was an international intention, folks, for us. And the military never stepped up. No, they brought it to us. They delivered it at warp speed. And I've been through the lineage since, again, late in 2019 to explain what was coming and then be able to kind of stay just ahead of it. Again, I can't be too far ahead because people they're already hard to hear now. I mean, you understand you got to hear what I say over and over. It takes a time. I apologize in a way to not make it more succinct in a way. But part of this process is giving the information over time that is receivable by people. And if you don't, a lot of people don't see the imminent danger, you won't perceive it, what's being told to you. And so I've got a time schedule thing that I look at a bit. When can I say stop? When can I bring it up? And it's still a little bit too far. I can't even say it. Now it's after the fact that no one's really hearing the point. It's really fascinating to watch. It's a defect in us as people. And this is global. This is not a judgment. We just have, it's like a witness, bro. You're not a good witness. People are not making good witnesses to their own harm against them. And then they don't respond. And how could they? I mean, if they're just victims to the witness that they see they're the victim to, it's kind of hard to get around that. And then they put the fear on people, and you either go one way or the other. You step aside, and you think it's not helping you, and you don't realize that the majority of people didn't step aside, and that's taking the rest of us down, or you don't. But getting over to what happens, we've got economic vulnerability in this country. Everybody is subject to the medium of exchange, the commercial exchange of so-called money, the fiat, whatever you want to call it. Money has a definition. It's not what we're using, and it is an as money. Okay, it's what you see moving through all these mechanisms are as money, and you have as law. If you look very carefully, you don't have law. You have things working as law. That's administrative as well. It works as law. Nothing is law. Nothing is money anymore. We, as people, if you have a sovereignty, have to re-engage that, because here's where it's going. And this story came up. In fact, it's predated last week's story by a couple days. I didn't hear about it till after what we're going through with the Fed and the economic attack that's gone on. We now see the bank, so-called bank runs and this and that. I talked about this last week, so this is now moving and continuing. What we couldn't know last week was this week, it wasn't bad enough that the banks, Midland banks, started to collapse. But the Fed's going to press harder. And I told you that was in the news. They were coming after us because they have a big problem anyway, but they're coming after us, and they're going to come after your jobs, and they're coming out of after the economy. And to do that, they're going to start slowly raising this interest rate. Well, they did. Well, with the bank failure, you'd think that they'd back off. But the people who'd speak about this said if the Fed backed off, they would show weakness. Well, the whole thing's just a deception. It's a big weakness. This whole economy is a fraud. It's fraud. Now, so in the middle of the week, the Fed hike rates after the bank run idea. And that was just a little bitty taste of what was going on. They got the people a little bit nervous. The real problem's inside the system. Fed hikes rate to a quarter percentage point indicates increases near an end. They read very carefully and parse these words. They speak in a special language and all this. But despite the fact of raising it and putting people into banks, I say people too, corporations and people too, the banks, the investment things were put into a bit of a problem. They're barely now floating, their head above the water, their interest rates relative to the treasury returns. The Fed comes in and pushes even more to do that. On that note, more jobs are being lost. So they're pushing hard, and they're moving in, and they're claiming that this is all about inflation. It's as if they don't care about anything else in a way. So this is looking like incompetence. I'm not so sure because of what comes up here right after. As we move in, that Musk, we hear Elon Musk coming to the, where did this guy come from? And all of a sudden, he's part of our society in a way that's like predominant. He's almost as if has his own, well, he does have his own platform, but I mean, he's right up front. He gets to have a say. None of y'all have an idea. His voice comes out. And interestingly, along certain lines that seems to be followed is a interesting coincidence, at least. Elon Musk urges U.S. to guarantee all bank deposits. The billionaire says the move is absolutely required to stop bank runs. Thing is, he's not talking about the bank grubs of the plebes running for their money in their account. He's talking about the bank runs of the companies inside that are being decimated and how they're trying to figure out how to keep alive while this monopolization goes on. So right from the words of Musk comes the decision, every U.S. bank is at risk, and Yellen's deceiving depositors to say that the economy is safe, and yet they're claiming that all depositors are safe. Every U.S. bank is at risk, and Yellen's deceiving depositors was another economist speaking to us, if we were going to listen, by telling the people the United States government could shield depositors of smaller banks if the latter faced a crisis akin to the Silicon Valley collapse. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has set a precedent that is going to exponentially make the problem worse, Mark Frost, an economist, professor, and consultant, told Sputnik. And so we go through and we can look at the story on how this works. They go back to First Republic. This is the story that anticipates that Yellen said, they came out, Yellen didn't say, the Fed committee said, they can underwrite to protect all of the depositors, all depositors. And then you started watching them making up more programs and shifting money around. They started to do things in this Fed bank system. Fascinating to watch. You see how they think they're going to pull this off, how they think they can shore it up, but it's all to keep your confidence and trust. That's all it's about. No different than Trump throwing out the ideas. It's about he keeps your trust. He keeps showing the problem that you can have confidence that he's in trouble, and you protect him. You don't look at the objective basis and say, well, he's just telling a story on a stage. It really can't work out that way. And if it does, you don't have a system. You don't have a system one. So Elon Musk speaks. Janet Yellen and the Fed committee comes out and says, we're going to protect. An economist says, well, you really can't protect. And I think that's more the truth. What you do is you give confidence to people to continue, whether that's real or not. And this is what this whole game seems to be. And then I hear this story. And this is now bringing along the lines, communicating to us what I've been saying about your relationship change, your relationship to your money system, not your money, your money system. Money's gone away. You got even currency. Now your relationship to that's going to be changing. I hope you found the importance of so much last week. You have to really understand what they're doing with this. This is really a sea change about how this is going to work with your relationship changing to what you think is money is actually the expression of the central bank's liability to things like SDGs, like sustainable development. And so we have news now. It came from the Fed. It was actually a few days before last broadcast. I didn't see it till later. A process, a thing that's developed, had been developed. No one heard about this. But it turns out, it comes out, not no one, but it's been worked on behind the scenes. It didn't hit the news. Something called FedNow. FedNow. Fascinating. What is FedNow? And this is what I've been telling you about this slow transition, actually pretty quick now, moving to the central bank digital currency, moving the whole system into a system, and making it nice and simple and easy for everybody to move into the new system. It was just days before I even talked about last week how they're doing that this news was already in the Federal Reserve, that they're already making that system done. And interestingly, on the date of March 15th, this thing called FedNow. But I have to say, Caesar is dead. Long live Caesar. Because this FedNow is showing you it's the transition point where your life is enslaved and will be controlled by FedNow. It'll be controlled by the FedNow. If you understand the names of these things, you start to see they're talking about a fact. It's how sustainable development discussions work. What is FedNow? On March 15th, amidst of the banking collapses, the Federal Reserve issued a press release detailing a new instant payment system that will be launched in July. That system is called FedNow. Here's what they said about it. The first week of April, the Federal Reserve will begin the formal certification of participants for launch of the service. Early adopters will complete a customer testing and certification program informed by feedback from the FedNow pilot program to prepare for sending live transactions through the system. Certification encompasses a comprehensive testing curriculum with the defined expectation for operational readiness and network experience. In June, the Federal Reserve and certified participants will conduct production validation activities to confirm readiness for the July launch. If you read further, you see this is a systemic corporate type of thing. I want to point you out, though, this is how this starts to work on through. They get this system refined, and they're now certifying participants. In other words, you have to opt into the thing, and they're making sure this system will work flawlessly through the whole process. They, I believe, will be then attaching you to this system when they move to the Fed coin, the tokenized citizenship. They call it Fed Now. They're killing the prior system to bring on the new system. And it's not a lawful due process. This is a Caesar, someone who was an emperor, who took a commitment. And this was interesting when I went back and looked at this March 15th, the Ides of March. All this starts to come through my mind real quick. But this tokenized citizenship is the Fed now crossing the Rubicon, if you will. This is where they're going to transition the system so that they can transition you. You will be a participant. You have to be validated through it. And this starts to show us the control part about this. Okay? This is not it's not a joke. Your life is going to be enslaved, and it will be controlled by the Fed now as they move this through. This is the interim step. What I was telling you, they give you, hand you a card if you're a depositor. They hand you a card and say, forget about your money here. Use this. You can use this everywhere instantly, no fees. And that's your wallet. And they move you into the digital central bank's digital currency. And you don't have a clue. You just do it because it's simple. It'll pay your bills. What do you care? You don't understand. It's a fundamental change in the relationship to what you thought money was. As they transition us into the cashless society. So slick and smooth. But FedNow is working already. They're working the system. It's now being integrated. It's now being set up to bring the participants in. The participants are already online if you read through the article. You get to the Federal Reserve announcement for it. They're already engaging. This is not even a joke. I don't know what else to say. We think it was a joke. These guys were dead serious as a heart attack. Yeah, died suddenly. Our whole system, we will die suddenly relative to what the rights we thought we had. This is the same modus of operation that's been going on, slowly, incrementally moving us along. And if they were saying that they had I've been telling you for years, they said that they didn't understand cryptocurrencies, this, that, and the other. I said, no, they're bringing them in. This is that system being transformed now. They're inside. But it goes to the Ides of March. It was issued on March 15th. Interesting things. I'll just give you some links. I won't touch too hard on it, but it was an interesting point made that we think it's the Ides of March when Caesar died. But you got to go look back, and we see it also was a notation that this was also a time, and it's an interesting time with the moon, relationship to the moon, although for us this month, it wasn't on the 15th. I think it was more like the 20-something, the 21st might have been the equinox for this situation. But the Ides of March was also shown to be a time when the debts were settled. And I found this fascinating. Not very much information at all on that point. But these debts were settled on this time, at the date, on the Ides of March. And it reflected to me that the debts are settled from the prior system, and you're going to be engaged in the second. And this note comes out from the Fed Now, on the Fed Now disclosure, on the Ides of March, a complete sea change on your internal workings of the system already happening. All their denials are kind of ended right here about this point. That we can go through and we can read some very interesting things that I don't remember hearing before in study about the moon, about religions, about when things happen, why they happen, the religious observances on this date in history, the economic debt-based considerations that were dealt with and handled, made finalized, and that seemed to come to me as I was reading through these documents and tabs you can get, that gave me an impression that that date is not inconsequential, and why they gave it notice on March 15th, and what it's doing to your system, and what it's doing to your relationship to your money and the debts. You're going to be now perpetually enslaved by the debt. Remember, shared prosperity, shared responsibilities. And it's not even yours. It's the ones that upon the party's token, your tokenized citizenship, the one you use to get keep your life going. And so I looked under Caesar and Wikipedia. I got another link here. You just go through this. And Caesar is a title. It's an imperial character. And so when you attach this Ides of March consideration, later in the crossing of the Rubicon, what Caesar made the conscious decision to do, and he becomes Caesar, to make that decision to war against the system. All this seemed to be tied real quick in my mind, that we have the imperial character of the Fed now coming on the Ides of March, moving through and putting the system in on the Ides of March, crossing the Rubicon to be, hopefully we don't allow this, but I don't see it happening. If Caesar was successful, he made war on the system and he was successful until the Ides of March when he was taken out. But we have this connection here right with the Fed. Roman law, Roman stuff. I go on, I guess we can go on and on, but I don't really want to. You can read it for yourself. You can see these words in your eyes. It's important to see these words, how it's described, even however accurately on Wikipedia. It's good enough to watch the lineage and history of what people have done in history, and we're repeat. It looks like to me we're just repeating it in different ways. And the Fed now, being enslaved by the Fed now, controlled by the Fed now, that system that's now put in place is totally consistent with what I see through these tabs coming to the crossing of the Rubicon and what that meant to Caesar and what that he did in making war on the system and changing the relationship of everybody there as well. That I was also saying that these these central banks, the enemy, if you will, is Bitcoin. That was for you. And then you saw, as I told you, they would be regulating that. The outlaw, the outlier, it would be regulated. You either be regulated or you're outlaw, and then you become, you can run. You can do that a lot. You can run around until you can live in the sewers of the Matrix, if you want, until they catch you. And they're looking. And they're going to be having all the technology and the advancement to do so. You're going to be a very small crowd of people that have the capacity to avoid. It'd be evasion then when they make it illegal, but we want to see that the global condition is one that the central banks already figured out they would be the monopoly. They are the function of economy, of monetary policy, of fiscal policy. We read that in A2030. For those that want to go ahead and read through that, I've read through. It was so important I read it out and explained what I could in short time. But we now see reflection. I've been telling you that we've been hearing, we think Russia is outside of this. China's, we've seen social credit, but Russia's kind of doing its breakaway. No, I told you no. They're fulfilling everything of the future we want. They're fulfilling all the digital currencies. They're fulfilling the registration. They're fulfilling all this. And so to this part of globalism, Russia's a promoter. We hear right from Russia now as we see the volatility of Bitcoin because people are looking a way to put their money. They want to get to put it somewhere. I asked a question to someone who sounded like they knew what they're doing. Where do you put your money in the interim of maybe buying real estate? Where do you do that? No answer. No one has an answer for this. They're all promoters, apparently. Where do you put your money? Well, Bitcoin might be a place, but for its volatility, you got to be careful. You put your money in Bitcoin, and all of a sudden something happens, and it drops to the floor. You just lost all your money because it's not real. However, it's also not subject to, as I've seen, subject to contamination, where we see titanium bars are coated with gold, and you can't apparently tell the difference right off the bat. I don't know. I thought there was one way to test. I couldn't track that down, but you can be swindled by having titanium coated in gold and not have the value that you thought you had. So the Bitcoin wouldn't do that except for the volatility. And now the regulation. And now the exchanging. Where do you go? Well, to show you that Russia is not outside this globalism thing, and they're going to promote it, and it's along the lines I've been saying, Bitcoin has no future. Russian financial official says the top cryptocurrency is not a reliable tool for investment due to its volatility. And Anatoly Askov claims the cryptocurrency market is extremely unpredictable, cannot be viewed as an alternative to traditional financial services at the time of a global uncertainty, according to a head Russian State Duma financial market. So the point being here, the rationale is being placed forward that says that all these bitcoins will not be something you use. And in fact, Russia has something already that is authorized. It's called DFAs. DFAs, like cryptocurrency, are based on blockchain technology. Blockchain, you're chained, physically chained, your actions are chained to an authority. However, unlike crypto, the operations with them are centrally managed. In Russia, DFA issuance is regulated by central bank, with companies required to register as information system operators. System operators. Again, you have no connection to this thing that they call money. And it goes on and explains this stuff. Russia, for as much as I would say Russia has rights here and there, and the international law says you have to come together and do certain things, or not, as we see, the United States dispenses with whatever it deems it needs to for its sake, and I suppose Russia might do, although I think they've been pretty in line. Part of the reason why I support what they show. Here, they're telling us that Bitcoin has no future. They already have an alternative set up, and it's centralized. And it's going to be the only thing that they're going to allow if you want to go that way. And so this Fed now is that. This is a global thing, I guess, just to point out. We're not going too far from the plan, as I could see it a decade ago or so, rolling out and setting up relative to Bitcoin. Now, Bitcoin is that place you can do that if you can build the exchange and this and that, and you can get some money out you could use locally. I understand some of this coming out of Vietnam that I guess has people excited. I'm not sure exactly what it is yet, but you have to be a part of a system before you can access that as well. The other point is that this is identifying a monopolization of a function globally. And Russia is part of it, even if it's their own system. But they're, again, they got a centralized central bank coin, and it's the authorized thing you'll use, and everybody else will either be regulated or outlawed. And they're going to do it based on this protecting people from the volatility. As I was saying, that's going to be a difficult thing to get around. And so as we were moving through this bank collapse type thing, and I said there was monopolization. They got to monopolize and get this thing down to where even if you're still going to have an alternative system, you're still going to go through only a few that are regulatable. If you heard in Russia, they've got everyone's a system operator now. They're not a bank, they're a system operator. As we hear the situation from last week, Swiss banks announced historic takeover. And I just want to point this out real quickly, that we are watching this monopolization as Credit Suisse was starting to go down. UBS did apparently pick them up and for a deal. But what's fascinating to watch here is they're talking about Yellen about the taxpayer. The taxpayer won't be interfered with, although they stole all the money back since 2008. And that's the slush fund that I think that they're actually tying into. All fraud again. But it's what everyone believes is okay and uses it. The UBS group did pick them up. Well, it's interesting what comes up from that. The monopolization is happening at the international level. And you can read, again, I get all these tabs you can read. They just give me talking points to move from to show you how this, or at least hopefully expose some of how this thing might work out, what we need to be looking for, to be careful of how we get blindsided when we have to stay in the system or what the system is doing as it collapses in on us to cage us in our function, in our daily way of life. But here's what happens over in Switzerland based on this. The Swiss are now on the hook. The people are now on the hook for $13,500 for each Credit Suisse bailout, the Credit Suisse bailout. So where the Yellen was screaming that we're not going to help touch the taxpayers in the United States. No, they thieved and plundered you years ago. The Swiss are now on the hook, apparently, for the UBS buyout. Even though they took Credit Suisse was moved at half value on its stocks, and then took only stock paper, as I understand, shares, in the new setup, the new monopolization. No, the leverage funding is such that the taxpayer pays for it, if you will. The Swiss people is on them. And don't think it's not on everybody else who runs into this problem. This is how they're hiding the cost, essentially. What they were claiming was the cost of sustainable development. Yeah, this was all the deception. It's now coming home to roost. Now, I don't know that everybody in Switzerland is going to be paying this, receives a bill, and that's the other thing that they deceive us with. They don't really send us that bill. You end up paying it out in your life, throughout your life. It diffused how you're paying it. It comes in taxes or taxations or regulations, more authority, more things you're going to pay, inflation, even if they say they're downturning it. It's all controlled monetary and fiscal policy. As we see, again, as this thing's moving into a centralized controlled system, here the Swiss are put on more debt. That will be attached to them behind the scenes eventually, it seems, where we see the Deutsche Bank and WEF look towards the end of cash. But here's the World Economic Forum again involved. CBDCs are inevitable, they say. And I so told you last week when we looked at that information, it says that it's you're irreversible as well. Because they change a relationship and you have no control of that. Those system operators are not under your control. We see labor singles out Sweden, Brazil, and China are those countries that have made particular strides in moving toward digitized versions of central bank issued currency, CBDCs, a centralized model favored by government and economic elites, not to be confused with decentralized cryptocurrency. In fact, such is the enthusiasm of the Deutsche Bank official sees the future dominance in CBDCs taking over at the expense of cash as sees taking over the expense of cash as something inevitable. The pandemic is credited with expediting matters on this front, particularly in Sweden, while the rate at which the governments seem to be moving in the CBDC direction is either alarming or impressive, depending on how you view the trend. And so this is what the system is moving for. This is a go right back to the Covey swindle. We were told about it. Again, dirty money. That's the other angle of this as well. Not just the collapse of the system. But this is where the Deutsche Bank is moving together with the World Economic Forum. And then we see this little story. These are the system operators now. The Deutsche Bank, J.P. Morgan faced sex trafficking lawsuits over ties to Epstein, who apparently didn't kill himself. But we see the ruling here comes after two women who claimed that Epstein sexually abused them brought the case against the two lenders. These are system operators, remember now. This is Deutsche Bank, says that the CBDCs are inevitable. And we also know they're irreversible, this relationship. Goes into, once you adopt in, it's you're done. The financiers reportedly was a client of J.P. Morgan from 2000 to 2013 and of Deutsche Bank from 2013 to 2018. In a four-page order on Monday, United States District Judge Rakoff wrote that the women could try to make the case that the banks had knowingly benefited from participating in a sex trafficking venture. But this is one of your system operators, I think heavy on the operator here. I don't see how we get around that. That are saying that your CBDC relationship changed the monetary fiscal system is inevitable, it's irreversible, and essentially the monopolization doesn't allow you to have any say over the matter. As they quell your fear, your options as well, because if you're not going to be running, you're no longer demanding your cash from the bank, which is really not going to be so much you as it is these corporate people who need to have their accounts continued. This is the big threat that Elon Musk was really talking about. The Fed moved on all this, but with other central banks to set joint liquidity operation. So where we hear BRICS, I looked at this, we hear BRICS coagulating as the bipolar blood clot in the world against the West now. But we see that the coagulation is now starting to happen with other central banks in the West. The United States Federal Reserve on Sunday said it joined with the Bank of Canada, Bank of England, Bank of Japan, European Central Bank, and the Swiss National Bank in a coordinated action to enhance the provisions of liquidity through the standing of U.S. dollar swap line arrangements. So now they've got to reconnect up all where these slush funds are, and all these banks now have to be able to be on tap to contribute to what used to be a weekly accounting, but now a daily accounting, and be connected to that swap line system of interaction, right? So that everybody feels that they have the ability, their liquidity. They can send you cash. They can move money around the internet, even though Fed now says, do it instantly. And you see how they tie that back together. You're going to be controlled by the Fed now, and all these other central banks are now hooking up their ley lines in order to be the force that runs your life. And so understand how this, it seems, is right. It's pretty fascinating. At one level, I'm just blown away that it's just so moving right along, so smooth. They did a good job here. If this is incompetence, wow, what a lucky day. These people live under a bright star. Maybe they live under a certain type of a star. Yeah. And I think that might be part of it as well, as we kind of go through to see who the decisions are being made, these Zio paths in the world. Western governments are on the verge of introducing expiring money. Why do I bring this up? Well, because when you get into this central bank digital currency and you realize your relationship changes, and it's the expression of the liability of the central bank relative to SDGs or sustainable development or whatever name they want to put on it, you realize that they have to they have programmable money, and they have to keep that control. That's how it becomes controllable. You can't do this with cash, even as fiat as it is. You have to do it other mechanisms. You can't do it with gold. You can't do it with silver. And I've been asking people to start getting that where you can, and maybe get the coins, because that's probably a little more protected. But you see, the price has gone, is starting to go up. I'm not sure where it's going to stabilize, but it is responding to this problem. The market is responding to gold, but it's not necessarily physical to delivery, and that becomes another issue. However, going into here, they can control the type of money. They call it expiring money. That's not money. So it's a lie here, but they can control it. It's programmable currency, and that's the secret. That's what they've been needing. The key central bank is considering implementing negative interest rates as it rolls out digital currency. This is not a question. They've talked about negative interest rates for a long time. They get you to use your money or you'll start to lose it. And the rates are whatever they program your currency to be. So when they want money to move, they'll threaten you with stealing it. I guess maybe do I need to say more about what this the problems of this digital currency are? Centralized control by those that are going to have your whole life in a blockchain, understanding exactly where what you're doing, and if you have enough technology around your house, exactly where you're doing it, when you're doing it, that you think to do it, you anticipate, AI will anticipate, and they'll say, no, you don't. You don't get to do that. Or, yeah, that expression of our liability is proper. Go ahead. Oh, you're not spending your money quite enough. Well, we're going to take 10% a year. Kind of get you to spend. What? What if you don't, you're spending your whole life just to keep your money? So they don't tax you? This is the problem. They can't actually do it that way with gold or silver coin or cash, or gold and silver coin with a condition that allows you to work with it. A lot of people, it's a little awkward at this point, and it's kind of valuable because everything, like gold is a lot of value for an ounce, right? So, what are you going to do with an ounce of gold value to something? It's a little bit awkward to use that way. But Western governments are on the verge of introducing expiring money. This is not even a new idea. This is just showing us they definitely tying it to the digital currency, which is programmable. And to show to show decisiveness here, and that the bipolar mental world doesn't need the West, to confirm the fact, Russia bans the SWIFT system of messaging. As I've told you that they would sever all of this and they would be working on their own, you're watching the development. Even though they said they're working on central bank digital currencies, they're not necessarily needing the messaging system between international borders. And so they've cut it. They're not necessary. They don't need it. As I've told you, watch Russia, how they're doing this, how you sever yourself from slavery, essentially, and move on your own. Banks have been ordered to use the country's domestic financial messaging systems for transactions. And this is how they manage the money, the transfers, and the contracts and all that. Well, blockchain, that's what they're working on with your blockchain and doing those contracts. It's the same type of system, but it's privatized. They have their own private system. And this system will be opened up to the BRICS nations, BRICS Plus now, as it expands. Bank of Russia has forbidden Russian financial institutions to use the SWIFT messaging system for transactions inside the country, the regulator announced. So enough said. The Russians are saying, none. We don't need it. We don't need that messaging system. We have our own. And we're satisfied that will be competent, and we will move into the future boldly move into the future with that, severing the themselves from the system and not having a care about it, right? So fed now, you're not doing that at all, for sure. So what is, you know, this may be a good idea. Russia severs themselves. Someone in the nation who's in the political realm right now, who I don't know that he's actually that, well, he's not, he's a hypocrite. He's made claims, he wants to show that he's protected people and he actually hasn't, as I've critically on record about in my post to him, which he doesn't answer. And I'm only critical by saying, here, apply the law, and he won't respond at all. So that's how these people roll. It's like Trump. He didn't roll with the law. He just made a claim. Totally impossible when you saw how this thing rolls out. People bought into it. The fervor goes up. But what are we going to do? Russia says, I'm going to cut all the messaging system. I'm not going to worry about what the West has at all. We see the problem with digital currency. Russia's not going to destroy digital currency. We see it's a programmable lifestyle. They can tell you no. And now where are you at? Your tokenized citizenship even is in Russia, notwithstanding the breach with SWIFT messaging for their transactions. But DeSantis in the United States comes up and calls for the ban on central bank digital currency. And I have to say, yeah, we need to do that. Now, so he has his reasons. I'm here to call on the legislature to pass legislation to expressly forbid the use of CBDC as money. See how that works? Within Florida's Uniform Commercial Code. Oh, now you have a section where Florida is focusing, this is all through how the Uniform Commercial Code is to work. Maybe you should understand how that is. There's some interesting things in there. Don't apply it across the board. Apply it where it needs to be. But here he says he wants the commercial code to be adjusted to deny a digital currency. CBDC is a digital form of central bank currency that is widely available to the general public. Is it? It's interesting how this statement's coming on. They already know it. But he wants to come out, and I would say rightfully so, he wants to call for a ban on this central bank digital currency. I noticed a problem with that, though. Remember, calling a ban on that doesn't invoke the power of the state. Actually, it just limits what you can do as far as your payments and your monetary system. And I sent an email, I keep saying email, it's a post by Twitter, which I think is a bit useless. The Twitter, this looks like there's nobody there. I don't understand it. Maybe I never have understood it. However, I sent him a tweet, and I said, despite he wants to say and call for a ban on central bank digital currency, which I think is a political statement more than a factual thing, and this is where I out that, I believe, I ask him, how about the companion legislation to make, quote, gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, close quote, to seal the fate of the source and ongoing usurpation, Governor Ron DeSantis. By denying the digital currency, he's not developing a constitutional specie money system, which is what the people actually need. And so this is that half story being told. I hope he outlaws the central bank digital currency, but that's only going to be for the legislation, the future legislations that will hold on to that, and only in his state. I think it's a good thing. However, that's not what the people need. The people need to be able to rely on an alternative system. He doesn't go that far. And I want people to think about how this works. It's not just these statements that sound good. What are we going to do as we move along to fix things more permanently? Now, moving over into continuing the economic thread here, our bank failures tied to the COVID lockdowns and that giant economic destruction created over the past 3 years is written by John Rappaport, reminding us of the point. And so I include it here. I would think this is a rhetorical question. It was set up for to take us down. It was going to be continued to keep us down. And it was to usher in the very things I've been talking about for this last hour or so, and the time before, and mentioning the specter, if you will, of cryptocurrency at all. And John Rappaport will explain, again, I think rhetorically in the article, in fact, the COVID did set us up. And I was railing, if you will, if I could call it railing, get people to defend themselves. so they wouldn't be brought down under. And then you saw what happened down under. And this is just a continuance. So I just wanted to give credit here to have him, John Rapoport, recalling for us exactly what was done. He says this is a question. I'm saying that's what the plan was. And the continuance is to continue more control. And now we have a programmable economic system. How locked down do you think you're going to you are? They got the model, folks. They figured this out. And none of us really stepped up. None of us really united to step up. And I don't see us doing it. I'm dismayed. I keep sending out information. Nobody responds. Everyone's focused on certain things that really are irrelevant. It certainly are irrelevant to this thing that continues to move. As we also find in relation to COVID and this COVID swindle, despite my efforts to try and get people to identify for themselves whether or not the government had authority over them to, if you will, present the people themselves, the sovereignty of the people over arrogant, derelict official. We didn't need the evidence because we were waiting, we should have been waiting, for a local official to point at us after a suspicious report on us and identify and to demonstrate a non-fraudulent infectious agent, that we hear the ongoing tale, again, perception management, cognitive warfare, keeping everybody focused in on something. No one wants to step back and just end it for them. We wait with bated breath, maybe like fish-smelling seal breath, I don't know. FBI, the State Department misses deadline to produce COVID origin information to House panel. Now, same question. If this House panel is blind as the J6, I don't know what to say. But are we really waiting on the FBI and the State Department to show the COVID origins? Only in perception management. But they missed that date nonetheless, as far as I can find the information. I haven't found that they fulfilled the so-called obligation. The FBI and the State Department didn't provide documents by the deadline in response to the congressional request for information on the origins of the COVID-19 virus. But the agencies are expected to comply according to the House panel seeking the information. What have I said? That's an off-point question. You don't have to find the origins if you haven't demonstrated the non-fraudulent infectious agent. What are you looking for in origins of a non-demonstrated thing? This is not that hard a thing to push, and yet we see they can't do it. And there's a reason why they can't do it, just what I said. They can't even demonstrate, and no one's asking, where someone has shown the infectious agent. I can show you a chemical weapon. I can show you a patented chemical construct. But I can't show you an infectious agent. Why do we think that there's going to be origins? Unless it's going to conform, as I've been saying, that it's a data string. It's a protein data string that was shared, just like the law allows internationally. Why? You're not going to see a whole lot. And why these questions are really misguided. And then at the federal level, why would they go to the FBI for the origins on something they haven't shown anywhere? No state is relevant to that question because no official has demonstrated a non-fraudulent infectious agent that they can show someone was a principal carrier of. And moving through all this, as we didn't do all that, we find, and the harm that would come, and I don't like to go too much, but it's important to understand some of this, the follow-up on DNA contamination of the COVID-19 injectable products. There's a discussion on, it really speaks toward more of the information that we had, but this was constructed without, these things were put together and made without guidance and quality assurance at all, even if they were something, even if they were chemicals that were valid, even as a chemical weapon, they had no quality control. And so I told you, be careful when we are seeing those pictures. It looks like there's all kinds of other biological contaminants, bacteria, chemistry, crystals, fungi, bacteria, all that kind of stuff was in there. I think we're seeing now people over time, again, I said it'll take 2.5 years to get more information, people finally getting past the perception management and start looking at this thing, that we're going to be looking at it more closely. That we have DNA contamination in these injectable products in the mRNA technology. I'm just going to let you read this, but point to the fact that would be predictable when you found out These were contracts for the military to have universities do the production or even labs do the production that didn't need to follow quality assurance for quality control of the injectables themselves. Pfizer and Moderna bivalent vaccines contain 20 to 35% expression vector and are transformation competent in E. coli. These particles are 20 to 35% viable in the injectables that will invigorate an E. coli to combine with them, which replicates, implies that they can do this in the body and create whatever that DNA would do. And then we see this story, innate immune suppression by SARS-CoV-2 mRNA vaccine, the role of G quadruplexes and exosomes and microRNAs say these things can affect us. Again, we're not saying they may claim a SARS-CoV-2 is a vaccine that in as a matter of communicable disease law is cannot be shown. It's a law. That can't happen. You have to have something that prevents and controls a non-fraudulently demonstrated infectious agent. These don't do that. The mRNA tells us this is chemical weapons, whatever they want to call it. The role of them is shown to suppress your immune system. This is not new news, just a study that goes on to reconfirm what I've certainly said over the years relative to what was happening. Where did I find out? Their testing stuff tells us all that. We're talking about immune system dysfunctions. We have now another study, if we needed one, of immune system suppression, they call it. And we would then suggest that we were going to be getting sick of certain various immune system suppression dysfunctions. And we saw all that too. I mean, this herpes is at least one. But I don't want to go through the lineage. This is all through time proven out before we even get here. That we then see this story, and this is like a public service announcement. So there's serious stuff coming down with people that, again, we don't know that the shedding part of that is well for those that are not vaccinated, not jabbed. I said that wrong, didn't I? You can't be vaccinated, so you're not vaccinated. No, you were jabbed. You're not jabbed. We don't know the shedding of this thing that was immune system suppression that still may had some immune system response that would cause shedding to get rid of some of it. And then what that might do if you run through the aerosolization of it, through someone wearing their mask, irrespective of all that vector. We have to understand that this immune suppression may be the answer to certain things. As we see drug-resistant fungus spreads through the healthcare facilities in the U.S., CDC warns. Just a coincidence. You know, we're not going to say that that's causative of the jab. I just want you to know that there's this warning now that's coming out. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention sounded an alarm about a dangerous fungus resistant to antifungal drugs spreading across healthcare facilities in the United States. In a release issued on Monday, the agency warned that the fungus, Candida auris, poses a risk for people who are sick, telling them to stay at healthcare facilities frequently or for longer periods away. It also poses an exceptionally high risk to those who are treated with invasive medical devices. And I've heard a lot more people, though I can't certainly say more, of the going through hospital surgeries and having some severe problems afterwards. It's not such an easy thing. Whether it's this or not, I don't know. Anyway, with an immune system suppression, I would think that these things can be pretty virulent on their own, and this is a double case of a problem. We don't know that our immune systems have been suppressed, those of us that may have enjoyed a jab, and we don't understand how did this fungus become resistant. Is this another potential bioweapon being released as well? I don't know. Just for those of you that may have problems, the problem, you could develop a problem, it might be this fungus. I've talked about this problem for quite a while. And then when I saw the pictures, I said, that looks like a fungus. These pictures, like the Hydra, that looks more like a fungus in the vial, in the stuff that was contaminant. So we don't know. I don't know. But here we have warning. Pay attention. I don't know what you do. Look around to see what you do against viruses and funguses. Dare I say ivermectin, maybe? Hydroxychloroquine? I don't know. You got to look at how these things are functioning and what system of these organisms, what these chemicals interfere in that organism to be viable. That's how these chemicals are actually working. Very fascinating stuff, but nonetheless, you need to have a a better repertoire than the expert telling you what's going on. Extraordinary change. Labor data shows shocking drop in workplace attendance following vax campaign. So, again, more information. If you are someone who have workplace attendance problems, maybe in your denial about the jab, maybe you should focus in on the fact that maybe that caused something. You need to clear out your system. You need to clean it out of the contaminants. I don't think it's a dead end. I think it's possible to move that thing through. Your body's pretty miraculous. You have to give it the tools in order to do that, though. If it takes chemistry to fight chemistry, I am not opposed to that. And if it takes antibiotics to work on something, again, it's the risk factor. Don't not use them if they're going to save your life. That may be your last thing. I've had to face that. I opted for the antibiotic. As strong as my body was, in fact, I've told you, the doctor was looking at me when I finally realized I wouldn't really be alive after a few more days. I'd been fighting something for 2.5 weeks, and he couldn't figure it out for a while. I went away for about 20 minutes to study, came back with a big couple books, and said, I'm looking at a dead man. So as strong as my body was to fight off what I had, it wasn't going to finish, because I'm surprised that you have made it this far. This normally kills people in 4 days. And so he told me why, and I said, okay, I'll take the antibiotic, because my body inside told me I would not be alive in a few more days. That's why I was down at the doctor. We finally realized it wasn't a fluke. This was something worse. This was something that my body was not going to be able to fight after 2.5 weeks. And so I've had to make that decision. I don't have a problem with it. You're looking at your, well, if you have any value in you continuing, you're going to make that decision. But it's the final decision, right? It's only when you need to. And this is the problem of medical professions. These funguses, these bacteria get along because they've been using antibiotics improperly when they shouldn't have been the final stage. As we found out, I think it was the Norway doctor in hospital found, just go back to normal cleanliness, like use bleach. Use things that are more natural to cleansing. Don't use antibiotics. When they stopped that, they started to end their problem with drug-resistant bacteria and things in their hospital. But extraordinary change. We're finding labor data showing response, a workplace attendance. You think maybe it has to do with drug resistance? Do you think maybe it has to do with the immune suppression? Possibly. And so take note, is all I can say. I'm not here to judge any of these. Now, whoever got taken down by this, they need help. When you need help, go find the help. Go look for where you can get the help. This is no time to be trying to champion what you thought was right when you were lied to and deny that. Go get your help. As we see, maybe, and I'm not so sure, but maybe, the first ever official apology for COVID vaccine mandates. I didn't hear the type of apology that I would have liked to have heard, that they didn't do the first steps of what the legislature mandated for the official to demonstrate an unfraudulent agency, which causes to make decisions that were faulty. But this is the first step we might get, if we can go through, whether this will help anybody to understand, because this writer says, I believe this is the first ever sincere and complete apology for vaccine mandates coming from an official. And he asked for, if he's mistaken, to find out what the apology says. You see the video. He goes, I want to, official is Anne Tessier, West Nipissing, Ontario, Canada, officially apologizing for vaccine mandates. Right? Not just that, not the vaccine, but the mandates. And Anne's voice breaks and she realizes the importance of her apology, says the author here, wanting and stating, I want to acknowledge that this policy has caused a lot of unnecessary harm and animosity within the workforce and community. I believe that this policy was mistakenly adopted 12 months ago. The general population knows today that the COVID vaccine does not stop the spread of the virus. 12 months ago, the municipal council was well aware that the virus spread did not correlate with vaccination status prior to this policy being adopted. The constituent had presented to the council the Public Health Ontario data showing that by January 2022, more cases were reported per capita in vaccinated people versus unvaccinated people. Unfortunately, the outcome of the vote from the municipal council resulted in the implementation of this punitive policy. With all my heart, I extend my apologies to those who were affected negatively by this policy, and I hope that, as a municipal and community, we can move forward. Well, she just gave you a ton of stuff, even if she wasn't an apology. She feels like it's an apology. She's explained, even though she calls it a vaccine after saying that it didn't stop the spread, that's a violation of your communicable disease law. This is a ton of information here. They willfully worked to violate people's rights. As you compare your communicable disease law to what your rights ought to have been in the dereliction of duty that was done to make these decisions. We'll put this in more context. Very important statement being done. I guess we could accept the apology. It doesn't stop the irreparable harm ongoing, and it doesn't stop the government from doing this again. Whoever put that information forward to try and get the hint to the public health official, congratulations for doing that for yourself. There. What you needed to do also is to say, and there's no public health official saying that I am the carrier of a demonstrated infectious agent, would have been, if you will, icing on the cake, because it would have said they had nothing to work against. But by going in and, as I told you, allowing there to be a presumptive impossibility of a presumptive emergency, the dumbest thing I've ever heard that actually worked. If you allowed that they could be doing the vaccines without challenging that they hadn't identified something to work on to prevent, you gave them the authority to say no. Plausibly. And this is what I've been saying. I've been harping on for 3 years. Don't let them do that to you. Anyway, here we go. Perfect. Good response to show they were implementing contrary to the evidence as well. I won't say more. Biden signs bill to declassify intelligence on COVID-19 origins. Again, this is all perception management. When you go down and you read the bill, it says as much as possible they're going to give you. This is just another cover. They want to make it sound like there's an origins. I told you I don't believe that anything that's going to issue from the government is going to be the truth anyway. And if it's politically motivated, they're going to be blaming, you know, pass the buck to China. China did share information. They can't be the origins of something organic. That's for sure. No, not even a raccoon dog now. Poor little dogs. Poor little raccoons. Really, raccoons are dogs. Anyway. No, this is a Biden signed a legislation requiring the United States government to declassify certain information related to its assessment on the origins. Its assessment on the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic, the White House said in a statement, is a law. Complete. The whole thing's a fabrication. To me, this is no different than Team Trump running an op. Psychological warfare off on everybody. Same thing going on. They're going to continue this narrative. A COVID vaccine creator found strangled to death in his apartment. Another interesting story. How'd that happen? Why? A Russian virologist who helped develop the country's COVID vaccine has been found dead after an altercation with an intruder in a Moscow apartment, according to reports of the local media. Again, Sputnik is the J&J style adenovirus attempt to do the same harm to everybody. Russia was not out of it. Russia did not ever isolate, demonstrate a non-fraudulent infectious agent. This was because all of this had nothing to do with any of that, as we see Russia cutting from the SWIFT system and also then going after central bank digital currency and having a system for the plebs inside their system that's isolated now from the West. It's all the same play. It's just who you're going to deal with. Who is stealing your relationship to your money? Who is putting you under that programmable control? So, a little side story here. Maybe it was a guy got killed by an intruder. Maybe it had nothing to do with the vaccine. The point is, they did all the same lawlessness in promoting this so-called vaccine. It didn't do anything. And they bring on, from it, they bring the rest of this thing. But through this, you see, Russia's economy didn't tank. No, even with all the sanctions, it's not tanking. And so we have a toxic thing that was injected into the system. The people, maybe, possibly the people, the collaborators are dying. They get rid of, the evidence. The United States is not doing anything different in its motion. The attack against the people of the United States is ongoing. I want to move now a little bit to the thing in Ohio just to touch base on some things. It's the consistency with which we see the pollution of the world not actually being dealt with by the agency that is mandated, and yet they come after us for the things we need to take things away that aren't actually pollutants. This is the conflation of sustainable development. I'm talking now of the EPA. It's the organization in the United States that is one of the pillars itself of the implementation of sustainable development, the environmental pillar. And we see this is a cancer inside our country. It needs to be killed, ended. Not sure how we go there, but we can see the evidence of some of this. We can see also the relationship, the propaganda management here since the trauma of 9/11, also in this report. Government severely downplaying the scale of chemical disaster, 9/11 victims' lawyer says. So we get the 9/11 victim lawyer in, which is making some excellent comments and observations. I don't want to detract from that, but we see this management going on. It's an attorney that says so. I've seen the pictures of the bubbling in the water. I've seen the pictures of the dead animals. I wouldn't drink that water, would you? Michael Barash, a 9/11 Ground Zero victims attorney, told American media. The lawyer warned of an impending mass outbreak of cancer in the affected population as a result of the massive derailment of the train transporting chemicals in Ohio. He also urged not to be swayed by the claims of government agencies that there is no danger, advising them to fight for their rights and protect themselves. One of the components carried by the ill-fated train, vinyl chloride, has previously been linked to the development of various cancers and tumors. Again, I'm not going to do this. This is a thank you very much as an attorney saying, keep your head up, protect yourself. Is he saying protect yourself? Folks. There's more to it than just looking at the water bubble. But we see a lot of statements in here getting back and to re-engage the fear system, going back to the problems and the truths of the 9/11 problem against us. And the government's not there really to do anything. As we see East Palestine residents continued to be ignored after train derailment. Palestine, the Gaza people, the people in Gaza, the Palestinians, they're ignored, completely ignored by the West. Their problem, their plight, the same, the pollution, the same, everything. Being in an open-air prison. And I read these stories, I start to read it, just reading more about how the Norfolk Southern's corporation's greed is driving this as well. But the government's ignoring it. The EPA came in and essentially allowed a chemical weapons attack on everybody. They plausibly did a response to that that was plausibly okay. I didn't understand it. But that starts to ride underneath the ability to poison people. There's a thought that, especially with the EPA involved, that that whole area was poisoned in order to eventually take it back, if you will. And this does fit some other scenarios of things where the land is controlled and taken back from people, or you're poisoned out of it. Again, heinous things happening, attacks in this country. You look at it and say, well, if there was real laws and justice, it wouldn't be going this way. And I say, when you see that, understand you're not living in the country that you thought you lived in. You know, this is a big bigger problem, way bigger problem. And then you find out you're going to have lots of trouble in the near future. You're not going to be in the fight. You're being taken out. And so this is another potential problem. Where we also see, like, the predictive nature. This is old news. I just want to touch it more of the chemical attack, a chemical weapons attack. This is all chemical weapons attacks, it seems to me, as we see a predictive condition in the movie White Noise. People affected by a toxic train derailment disaster in Ohio were extras in the movie about a toxic train derailment disaster in Ohio existed. And they're talking about how this was almost like the movie. What happened? Well, is that really how it depicted? Did they really depict the movie that well, or was this the plan? Well, I guess we could go there. The problem is, no one's really stepping up and protecting the Palestinians. And I don't think they're going to protect them many other places, because we're under attack. And we have to be careful not to get outside of the real thing that's going on. Yes, there's a lot of activity in the world, and a lot of things happening that we may not be understanding. And this is the one thing that shocked everybody. It kind of shocks me just because I don't understand when is the maintenance of the system cheaper than letting the maintenance reduce to the point you start having accidents to clean up? Yes, the U.S. averages more than 1,700 train derailments a year. We just don't hear about it. A lot of those derailments may be in shift yards, switch yards. The trucks that are on there may have problems. They may not be maintained quite right. You got certainly the tracks. So there's all kinds of things going on, all kinds of activity that people cause trouble for themselves. So we don't want to inflate this too much. We don't want to lose sight of the fact that accidents do happen. The problem is the type of accidents start to focus us in on a problem. And when they start causing the people problems, maybe we need to put a lot more attention to it. When we see the future is the future that someone else wants for us, and the actions taken now are getting us there, we maybe should be implement the precautionary principle. And when you don't have a government officials that are, I think we need to take a serious look at those guys and gals and see maybe we need to move them along. Because what starts to happen, these emergencies start to work in the benefit of the sovereign protecting everybody. Now, moving now to Kanukistan, Trudeau government plans to make it easier to invoke emergencies acts, freeze bank accounts. Well, that's not going to be hard when they have the centralized token, isn't it? Your tokenized citizenship will be very easy. And Trudeau's government set us up to see how they do that. And you speak out and you're going to be hit. And they're making it easier for government to be able to pull that out. And it's all from the COVID. Right? This was all a really well-made, well-executed plan. It's still going on and no one's really stopping too much. And we go off on things like the Trump. My thought is let Trump take care of himself if he can. He's wealthy enough. He knows enough people. He's been around organized crime enough to do that. Why are we helping to foment our own destruction by not looking at more important things? Canada's highly controversial use of the Emergencies Act during the last winter in anti-COVID restriction civil protest, known as the Freedom Convoy, and criticism heaped on the authorities thereafter does not appear to have persuaded them to act differently in the future. No, they're going to move this thing forward. Public Order Emergency Commission is going to move it forward by their investigation that said, oh, no, they did it correctly. They did all that emergency correctly. You got to look at how they twisted a little bit of that. But let me also offer that I didn't hear many people bringing the fact that they hadn't demonstrated a non-fraudulent agency to even interfere, have the power in the state to do a thing. This is all meant on the plan. The emergency acts will impose more restrictions, and the way they do that is they need to get you into this authorized, verified system. Just like Twitter, verified system of who you are, what you're doing, who you're involved with, in order to keep track of the blockchain, which Twitter is, of what's going on. And if you get into payment systems, what that's going to happen, as we see throughout the crown realm, Australia agrees on digital ID rollout and data sharing. Centralized data sharing is the tag, and isn't that speaking right to the coagulate, the blood clot created by all this liquidation that's being done by the central banks across the world I spoke about? The federal and state and territorial digital ministers in Australia have agreed on a deal that would, it's all about the deal, right, Trump? Agreed on the deal that would allow sharing the digital ID and credentials in new national digital ID scheme, according to the report of the Australian Financial Review, right on point. Well, what this is all about in your digital driver's license, remember, driver's licenses, commerce, transportation, it has nothing to do with what I said earlier, but your right of ingress and egress. That's not in commerce. The commerce agent in the revenue agent in the COP imposes that upon you. It's a fraud. And that's a trespass. So if we get the dog's paws on us, if we get the cop's paws on us, before he has an authority, maybe we have a defense, as I go back and hearken to the beginning of the broadcast. I try to do this as best I can, folks. Tie all these things together to show you they're really interrelated or interrelatable. Moving on, more countries. France greenlights biometric medical ID, upcoming centralization. Ongoing theme with these tabs here. This is all what it's about, centralization. They explain that in the Russia tokenization of their citizenship. And so we see now it's tied to the medical ID. That is back to the COVID swing, right? That's what they were telling us all along, what I've told you, what I've reported on, what I've shown is confirmed to us. And so, how do they do that? These IDs are the connection. This ends up becoming the biometric medical ID becomes your tokenized life. It becomes part of how they're going to make you assess whether or not you are fulfilling the expression of the liability of the central bank itself to this foreign standard called sustainable development, in a term. And how are they going to do that? Well, they're going to look at the internet and your internet of things but there is no prosecution at any cost. German opposes client-side scanning planned by EU. It would create an unprecedented surveillance monster that violates fundamental rights. As we read through what they're doing in Germany, again, if you look at how this is all working, they're all interrelated, the German people, the parliament, the government, all interrelated to this thing. They want to oppose this, but eventually it ends up coming in because the purported need, which they usually relate, again, women, children, and the indigenous, here it's going to be child sexual abuse online, and they need to know who you are. You're not presumed innocent. March 1st, the German parliament held a hearing on the digital committee on the EU Commission's draft law for client-side scanning to fight child sexual abuse online, also called chat control. IT experts, civil libertarians, law enforcement officials, and even child protectors agree the EU's proposal does not protect children, but poses major risks to fundamental rights. Absolutely. Client-side is your side. That's the phone. Okay, they're showing you right up front. That's what they're after. And that's what they want to hit. And eventually, they'll get their way. That's the future they want. They'll justify it somehow with this need. It's always ongoing. The perpetual hit. You know, my thought on that is, how are you not going to get in that? That's the matrix. You're going to have to travel the sewers. Well, they have a lock on the dark web, so don't think that maybe that's it either. As they centralize everything to be able to keep you in that societal system, really more an economic monetary condition, a servitude to third parties, non-governmental, who have obligations they claim that you are expressing. None of us are safe. How U.S. Journal was hit with Kremlin label and looped into NSA dragnet. Interesting story for me. I only wanted to point out, I've been telling you on and on, you may think you're innocent, but when you have someone after you, they can make stuff up, is this story, and it's done by the United States government. We know all about that, but this is someone going after two journalists, the NSA going after Tucker Carlson and Anya Parampil, and if those are targeted, you are certainly a target. And the mechanism here was exactly what I've been saying. It doesn't matter how innocent you are. When someone decides in an official capacity and can cover it up under national security that you are someone of interest or beyond, they can come after you and they can start calling you things in order to justify what they've done. And this is the presumptive condition. World Health Organization is getting closer to being granted expanded surveillance powers. Again, NSA is not just the only group. You got this non-governmental organization, the WHO, not a rock group, not an owl, not the little people from Whoville, but the World Health Organization is getting closer to getting surveillance powers, which this guy, Tedros, coming out, oh, no, we're not doing that. Well, they are, but neither here nor there. The point is, there's surveillance in the future because your digital currencies need all of that information. You need to be sucked into an ID and authentication system. The only way I can see to not do it is to not participate. How we each do that is going to be a different question. I don't know. I really wish we were in communication more with us instead of rallying to protect Trump and giving him $1.5 million. Why don't we look at the real important stuff and help ourselves in that regard? Hope something I said today will help you out. Think about stuff, put things in perspective, give you a place to stand that's not in front of the train as it comes through on time. I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs for Nature World.
That's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, Journey with Purpose.
A can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.